to Bethel Baptist Church. As you can see, Pastor and Mrs. Otero have returned from a much-needed vacation, and we are grateful that they are with us again today. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for being with us and worshiping with us today. We will have our monthly fellowship luncheon directly following this service, and all are invited for good food and fellowship. Please note in your bulletin that following the 2 o'clock service this afternoon at Pacific Hills Manor, all other activities for this afternoon are canceled due to it being the last Sunday of the month. Please refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this coming week and also next Sunday. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 12 and 13. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 36, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Continue our worship with hymn number 496, Victory in Jesus.
Yeah.
Please stand as we sing hymn number 402, Faith is the Victory.
Together. Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of our High Priest, the Lord Jesus. And we are grateful that we can open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church here physically in place, and then in radio ministry, and the internet, and through the CD ministry and tape ministry, and bring to the people everywhere the good news that Jesus saved. Father, how wonderful it is that we are free to proclaim across the world that Jesus really saves. So this morning, Father, we come to you with a grateful heart because you separate one day on the whole week to worship you and to express our love for you. At the same time, we want people to know that in your word, the Bible, we find the truth of the living God, and that if faith is going to be created in our life, it is through the word of the living God. Because the Bible said faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of the living God. Lord, bless us as we partake of this wonderful worship service, as the choir is going to bring praises to your name, as the word is going to be read, and as the word is going to be explained, especially on those particular areas of our life where we need to be aware of the enemy of our soul. And then, Father, we do have together with us missionaries across the world that also they went into places to bring the gospel. So we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis as they are back in the States because of their daughter's graduation, that they, in this short vacation, will rebuild their strength to go to Siberia. For Carl Knott and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. For Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benalmadena in Spain. For David and Denise Rhodes in Papua New Guinea, so different from us. And then in Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala in Central America. Lord, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy. Christian Athletic Association in San Jose. Daniel and Miriam Lacey. And Daniel is right here in Sears Point here in California this weekend, ministering to the people who run in the races. And we pray that his ministry will bring fruit to your glory. And for Martha Paretti, as she ministry in Argentina in the drug addicts area, where people are unwanted, and she goes into the place to show them how to labor with their hands and to listen to the divine word. Bless these missionaries that they may have peace of mind, that their work will be rewarded in heaven. Father, we pray for ourselves, that we too may enlarge our boundaries in our church, and that we may be able to witness to as many as possible, so that people may come in this city of Morgan Hill to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And personally, Father, I'm thankful to come back to our church after a remarkable rest that you have given us. And so, Father, here we are back again, Raquel and myself, ready to preach the word, to assist with the counsel of the divine word, and then to bring people and help people so that they can know that there is a God who loves them. We thank you, Lord, for your provision. And you care for our church. Your people are good, and they are good givers here at Bethel. And we thank you, Lord, because they love you. Our gift is the expression of our love for you. And so we pray again that you will bless the offering and bless the giver in the name of our precious Jesus. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you.
choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the 1 John. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, turn to page 718. We will be reading 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 through 29. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 through 29. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for having revealed yourself through us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We will be forever grateful that the Lord Jesus is our righteousness, and we pray for strength to do your will every day. We thank you that you protect us from error by the Holy Spirit, and we pray for diligence to inquire into your word for guidance. Protect us from the forces arrayed against us. We thank you that the Lord Jesus has defeated them, and by faith the victory is ours. We pray now for your returning servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him with wisdom and insight as he steps into the pulpit again, Father, to bring the message from the Bible today. We pray for ourselves and all those listening on the radio and internet that we will be attentive to some of the most important words we will hear this week and apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
We live in a world of unending conflict. U.S. troops and their allies are in the midst of daily conflicts in Iraq, even though major combat operations, as you know, ended on May 1st, the year 2003. That is only one of many kinds of conflicts in the world today. Lawlessness is in conflict with the truth. Intrigue and dishonesty are in conflict with truth and honesty. Intolerance is at odds with tolerance and human understanding. Lust and pleasure are in conflict with property and purity. Godlessness is at odds with righteousness. Disorder is at war with decency and order. As long as sin exists, conflict will continue to rage over and over and over. That is why the Bible specifically mentioned three enemies of our soul. And here they are: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because there is sin, there are three enemies that continually are at war with us, the believers. And these are the world, the flesh, and the devil. I think it will be good this morning to study them, to see where they are and what they do, and then also to study how to beat them and put them away. We are not at the mercy of these enemies. We have the tools as believers given by God to beat them. You and I alone cannot do it. But Christ in us is the hope of glory. And the Spirit of God will enlighten us through the Scripture how to beat and put to death those enemies of our soul. So let's study them one by one. The first enemy that I want to call to your attention is the world. And I'm going to teach you three things in each category. On each enemy, I'm going to teach you the warning of the Scripture, then the clarification of what is doing, that enemy is doing, and then the example of that enemy in the life of some people in the Bible. So here's the first enemy, the world. And the warning is found in the Scripture our brother read for us in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, page 718 in our Holy King James Bible. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 said this: "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And by the word world means the world system that controls us and work above us. The warning is love not the world. That's a warning. Love not the world. And there has to be a reason for this. And so the Bible gave us the clarification in the book of James in chapter 4 and verse 4. James chapter 4 and verse 4, page 712. Look what the Bible says. James 4, verse 4. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Now clearly the Scripture said concerning our first enemy, the first enemy is the world system, and the world system is against God, period. Last night in Larry King, I was listening to Ronald Reagan Jr., and he encouraged the people not to vote for President Bush in our coming election. And the reason that he gave is this: this administration believes in God, and God is not real. They do not believe in evolution. Can you imagine, Larry, how ignorant they are? And is the president of our nation. Little he knows that his father believed in God. See, there is never you can make an arrangement between the world and Christ. The world system and God. The world system, the Bible says, is enemy is a declared enemy of God himself. So anything that is ruled by the world system in America, in England, or in any place in the world is an enemy of God. Now, here is an example what that enemy will do to you, what that enemy will cause us. Here is an example. If you move your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, page 702. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible reveals what the world system will do to you if it's possible. Paul, talking about those who were his friends and his co-laborers, he says in verse 10, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Wow. 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 "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." The enemy of our soul, enemy number one, is the world system. And what the world system will do is move you away from God. Sometimes people get great resources and great rewards for their work, and they get great amount of financial goods. And rather than dedicate that to the Lord, they move away from the Lord. They buy a boat, they buy a house outside for vacation, for holidays, and they move away. Their life is concentrated in the goods that they have, and that will move away from the Lord. Sometimes success of fame will move the person away. But there is no choice. The enemy number one that we face is the world system. And more you progress in the world, you have to be extremely careful that you do not forsake the Lord. Because that's what the world system will do to you. The churches in the Bible, in the book of Acts, they were most faithful, like Thessalonica, were located in the worst location socially in the world. They were persecuted. They were labor people. But Paul said, "How great you people are. How great is your work of faith and love." And the reason is they have nothing to really ponder about it, so they had to concentrate it in the Lord. That really happened. More that we have, more in danger we are of forsaking the Lord. Enemy number one is the world. We visit in England, great churches. We visit within the castles, great churches. And we visit on Sunday with 50 people, a church that can seat maybe 3,000. And the reason is the church has glory in their buildings, but no glory in their people. The world system is so good, they allow those churches to make buildings that are majestic in structure, glorious in architecture, but empty spiritually. And they're happy. And they do not know that the secret of a church is not the building, is the people who knows the Lord. That's the world for you. The world is your enemy, number one. Number two enemy is the flesh. The Bible in the King James Version used the word flesh, which is the old nature, the nature that you are born with. And there is a warning about the flesh. Let's take a look at the warning. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, verse 11, page 714. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. 714. And now the second enemy, the Bible will give us the warning, the clarification, and the example. The warning: "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, from fleshly desires, which war against the soul. Abstain is the word. Abstain from the desires of your flesh, the natural desires, the passion that comes into your flesh. And clearly the scripture is not making no mistake. It's making a tremendous warning. Abstain from this stuff. From you. Abstain from you. One of the enemies is outside, is the world system. But the second enemy is you and me. We are built with an enemy within. And that is the desires of our old nature. And there is a clarification why God said abstain from getting anything you want to. Anything you want to, abstain from any desire that you want to, don't pursue it. And there is a clarification in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, page 687. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17 clarify why I should be aware of controlling myself. Here's what it is. Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. The desires of the old nature is against the spirit, and the spirit against the old nature. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. In other words, my friends, there is nothing new. The old nature is against your new nature. You become a believer in Christ, and you discover now that you are in a war system. You don't see the enemy because the enemy is you. I was in the bus a lot in England. And Laura can tell you how gorgeous are those buses, two floors. And I took the bus at the same time, so you had the same people. And so, you know, they're very quiet, the English people, very reserved. No, me. I said, hi, everybody, I'm here again. You know, and everybody like that, you know. But finally, one lady saw me, said, oh, hi, I saw you in church, come on. And we sit down over there. My wife and the guests were upstairs, and I was downstairs enjoying talking. And she was from Philippines. And she told me how she received the Lord Jesus in England. And she said, you saw how a little amount of people come to church in England. So I thought the church would be packed. And it was a size like this. And there were about 50 people in total and no young people at all. And she said, but I have the Lord in my heart. And my husband is an unbeliever, and he doesn't understand why I love the Lord so much. And so we had time to talk about it, and I have time to encourage her to love the husband more, because he is an unbeliever. He doesn't know left from right. The only thing he knows is himself, and the only thing we know as ourselves is against God. If we are left to ourselves without God, we will go against God and do anything. Everything we do is against God. That's why Galatians 5:17 says the old nature is against God. It's against the spirit. And when you are spiritual, you are against your old nature. The second enemy is the flesh. It's the old nature. It's yourself and myself. We are trapped in a container, as the British will call the body. We are trapped in a container that is dangerous, explosive. If you don't take guard of yourself, you can do harm to yourself. Because left to ourselves, we are against God. Now there is an example of this in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, page 692. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, we have an example of what God said to us in reference to ourselves, in reference to the old nature. The Apostle Paul says, For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And look at what Paul said. We have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the old nature. No confidence. If you have to make a decision based only on your understanding, you are left to nothing. Have no confidence in yourself. Have no confidence in yourself. That's why Satan knows how to get your time involved in everything, and you don't have time to read the Bible. You do not have time to read the Bible because you are busy, and Satan is happy. Because if you read the Bible, you become wiser. And your mind is filled with the things of God. And then now your old nature is suppressed because you have the thoughts of God into your mind. Believe me, this is extremely important. Extremely important. You do not trust in yourself. You look into the Scripture for every decision, for every thought, for every turn in your life, and find the approval and direction from God. Because it doesn't matter if you are a medical doctor or an engineer or a smart contractor. Doesn't matter. What comes to life, your old nature is your worst enemy. And so, because the old nature is against the Spirit of God, the Bible says, have no confidence in your own thoughts and your own ideas, unless those ideas are based upon the Scripture. For example, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. What the world system does, they created a protective service for children. So you are in a restaurant, and that happened here. Years ago in this church, I had to run to a restaurant to protect somebody. And your child is giving you a hard time. Move around, you know. So finally, mama says, stop it. Oh, somebody from the other table called the service, protective service. And they're going to take the child away because the world system is going to take care better than you. In other words, they're going to let that children do whatever they want to. See, everything. When the Bible said, children, obey your parents. And you can go over and over the examples. Husband loves your wife. Oh, but my wife. Husband loves your wife regardless of what she does. You love your wife, period. The wisdom of God is always against the wisdom of man. And I want to let you know that these are not just opinions. These are enemies. The Bible used the word enemies of our souls. Now, when we play soccer, we are no enemies. We are adversaries. We're just adversaries. We kill each other, but we're adversaries. We are no enemies. The game is over, we hug each other. But I tell you, these are enemies. They want to destroy you, your home, your children, everybody. First enemy is the world. The second enemy is the flesh. The worst enemy coming is the devil. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, page 691. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 and page 691. Look at what the Bible says. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, not against something that we see, but against principalities. These are titles of the demons. Remember, we studied this series here in church on demonology. These are the titles of the degrees of the demons who help Satan to work. So for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against a spiritual weakness in where? In high places. We wrestle. It's not that we talk. We wrestle. And our worst enemy has his army called in different fashions. And he is ready to launch his attack daily on each one of us, and we do not see it. He said, we wrestle against these things who lives in the spiritual darkness of the world. They are no flesh and bones. We don't see it, but they are the enemies. This is the enemy of our life. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:4 will clarify this in page 680, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 4 will do a clarification for us and how these should be understood. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 4 and will tell us. And here's what 2 Corinthians 4:4 says. In whom the God of this age had blinded the minds of them who believe not. That's it. Has blinded the mind. This is what the devil does. He blinds people. Oh, they get educated. They become, again, medical doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, engineers, science people. And they think that they will tell us everything according to their mind, and that's the standard. But that's not the standard. God has, their minds has been blind by Satan so that they cannot see the truth. How many people can read the Bible and they do not see it? The reason is they're blind. They're blind. The devil specializes in blinding you. How many students, I talk to them after they went to college, in a public college, and they tell me, well, Pastor, I do not believe any longer in creation because now I'm educated and I not as different. How sad is this? If you are not a good believer, really, college will shake you all over. That's specializing the devil. Now, this he does with the unbelievers. He enjoyed the unbelievers. He had the unbelievers in his hand, dancing in his hand. He gave the unbelievers whatever they want to because they are blind with respect to the things of God. Oh, they may be billionaires, great presidents and kings and whatever it is, but they are blind with the respect of the things of God. Satan is not satisfied with that, my friend. If that was the case, I would say leave him alone. But that's not the case. If you move your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5, and in verse 8, page 715, you will know the reason why. 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 8, page 715. Satan is not satisfied just to control his empire and do what he wants with his empire. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, said the apostle Peter. Be vigilant, because your adversary, you got the word adversary? Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You got it? And he's talking about Christians, because 1 Peter was written to Christian people. Be careful, because the devil is going around. He already have in his pocket the unbelievers. He already have them. He doesn't have to do anything with them, but he's not satisfied with that. As an archie enemy, he goes around to see which believer he can go into and hurt that believer. Maybe by a wrong doctrine. Maybe by taking liberties in his life that the Bible doesn't say. He's like a roaring lion going around. He's not just peacefully say, well, let's see what I do. He's desperate. You know, he's desperate. For 1 week and 2 days, I don't have a piece of meat. We were in the house of a dietitian, and you have boiling vegetables only with no salt or pepper or anything. Believe me, I was desperate, like a roaring lion. First bit of meat I find in a place, I want to grab it.
So I tried to send my wife and the other people, said, you people enjoy over there. I go from this week, and I saw pastries, these and the others. So let's see. And I look left and look right, and when I saw nobody, just go in. Like a roaring lion, they get a piece of meat. Satan is desperate to get you and me. So here, we are at the mercy of this awful situation. Looks like the sermon is so negative. It's so awful. But it's not so. Enemy number one, the world. Number two, the flesh. And number three, the devil want to destroy all of you. What do we do to defeat the enemy of our soul? Three things. Let's talk about it. First enemy is the world. How do we conquer that enemy? Turn your Bible to 1 John 5 and verse 4, page 719. Now here's the formula how you and I will conquer these enemies who are daily in our life. How do we conquer the world system? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, page 719. Look at what the scripture says. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? Our faith. You believe the word. You believe the word. Don't ever doubt the word. The day you doubt the word, you are in the hands of the world system. I remember Miriam calling me at maybe 4 o'clock in the morning when she was studying Davis University in the School of Medicine, my daughter. And said, Daddy, I know this is wrong, she said. They said that it's this way, and this way. What the Bible said here, and how do I answer this? And we spent time together looking into the physical, into the chemistry questions, and answer according to a scripture. And I said, just to get the passing grade, you just said, the book and page so-and-so said this and this, and doctor so-and-so said this and this, but also God said. And she passed it. I thank God that God protected my daughter from the evilness of a worldly university. The heart was right, and she asked me. And I'm glad that I had the time to say, I drop everything else, even from sleep, to pay attention, because it was clever. You people who go to Bible college, you don't know the privilege you have in your life. 1 John 5, 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Doesn't say the Bible, whatever is born of God maybe overcome the world. No, sir, overcomes the world. Doesn't say could be, no, overcomes the world. We are not under the submission of the world system. Why? Because we have faith in the Word of God. See how important it is to read the Bible? If you don't read the Bible, you don't know what's going on. Victory number one, faith in the Word of God. Second enemy is our flesh. What do we do with our flesh, with our old nature? Turn your Bible to Galatians 5 and verse 16, page 687. Galatians 5 and verse 16, page 687. What do we do to overcome ourselves? Page 687, Galatians 5 and verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that clear? Is that clear? Walk in the Spirit, and you don't have to worry about the flesh. See if everything you do is spiritually right, and you don't have to worry about the flesh. You do not need a book who said, this you do and this you don't. No, you do everything God said. Walk in the Spirit, and you don't have to worry about the rest. We'll take care by itself. Walk in the Spirit. Remember that. Walk in the Spirit. Do what God said. The Bible doesn't say choose this way or choose the other. The Bible said, my friend clearly said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, said the Apostle Paul, and you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. In other words, you don't have to make a decision, this or the other. You just walk in what God said, and the rest is taken care of. It's gone. Wow. We are not at the mercy of the flesh or at the mercy of our own body. But if we take the inhaler of the Word of God into our life, we are going to really breathe the Word of God in our walk. Enemy number three is the devil. Pastor, we don't see the devil. Pastor, the devil is controlling the entire world. How do we beat him? Oh, it's easy. James 4, verse 7, page 712. James 4 and verse 7, page 712. Look at what the scripture says. In James 4, verse 7, page 712. How do we overcome the devil? James said this, therefore, submit to God. You got that word, submit? When it's in Ephesians 5, it said the wife should submit to the husband. I hear a lot of noise about it. But here it is, submit to God. Submit to God. And what do we do with the devil? Resist the devil. But if you do not submit to God, the order of words and grammar are very important. If you do not submit to God, you will not have power to resist the devil. You do not start by resisting the devil. You start by submitting yourself to God. And when you submit yourself to God and the devil makes that invitation to you, then you can resist that. And look at what the Bible says. And he will attack you again. No, he will flee from you. Victory is won. My friend, this is the kind of information that will enable you, in spite of all the things that happen in your life, in spite of all the things that goes on in your work and in your business, and you are betrayed by this, and out of the blue you get surprised by things that happen to you, here's the information that will give you the strength and the power and the formula to really overcome whatever comes in your way. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. May God bless us that we be people of a strong faith, that we be people that will just read the Bible and beat our enemies. Let's pray. Eternal God, use us for your glory, even in our ignorance and weakness, to bring about your holy will upon our life. Father, hurry the day when your people shall live together without fear of our enemies, of our soul. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
All. Trust.
give a hand to this week. Wonderful man, wonderful. Boy, the pastor goes away and this choir director get those men singing so well. All right. Okay, we're going to have the privilege of having a potluck dinner right after this. The church is going to give a gift to you. We're going to provide the meat. I mean, first in line. All right. Because the church is going to provide the meat and there is salads and things. And you all invited, cost you zero. Now, before I pray, another announcement. Somebody called here a neighbor, and they have furniture, a desk, I know, and they have other things that they want to give away. If you are interested in getting some of these furniture, or at least go and take a look, just talk to our brother Plika. He has the phone number, and you call our neighbor and put in touch with them. All right? Will you stand, please, for prayer? Lord, it has been a beautiful morning. The choir has praised you. And then these men have gave us the only formula that will help us, Jesus Christ. I pray that if someone doesn't have that assurance that Jesus is Lord of her life, that you will grant to such a person the belief in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you caused us to believe long time ago. And now we want others also to know Jesus. Because when we know Jesus and we know the scripture, we are the people who overcome the world. Thank you, Father. In Jesus we thank you. Amen.